Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Bam has decided that when the weather's bad, and that includes when the weather's cold, he prefers to be inside. That's fine with me. I figure, or I hope at least, that he can get into less trouble inside than he can when he's outside. But even though Bam is a little cat, and this is a little house, Bam is a great big cat mentally and in terms of energy. And sometimes it seems like this house isn't big enough to hold him. Still, he amazes me in the many different ways he finds to amuse himself. I have dried flower arrangements around the house, and I have lots of living plants. And he daily inspects them and checks them. The few times when I have the oil furnace on, so that there's air moving through the house, which there isn't if I'm using the wood stove, he checks out the motion of the fronds of the ferns. He checks out the trailing leaves of the bishop's robe plants hanging in the window. He checks out my dried flower arrangements. He checks out pretty much anything that moves. Once, when we had a big snowstorm, I left Bam and the dogs in the house and went outside to do some shoveling. There was part of me that said I should have done something special. Not so much to cat-proof the house, but just to give him something else to think about. Sometimes I'll just roll up balls of paper and toss them on the floor, or I'll leave little empty bags with maybe one or two pieces of dry food for him in various places, usually up high, so the dogs don't get to them first. But on this particular day, I was slightly overwhelmed by more than 20 inches of snow instead of the predicted 5 to 8. And so I just wanted to get out and start clearing the snow from the doorways and dig out the wood pile. So when I came back in, I experienced a certain amount of trepidation, wondering if I would find the fern shredded instead of just bounced around a little, or a couple trailers from the bishop's robe lying on the floor like so many dead birds. But I didn't. Instead, I found a dead mouse. The mouse had been decapitated, and its body was sprawled out upside down in an obviously dead mouse fashion in the middle of the wood floor. That was the good news, because I knew it wouldn't be very difficult to clean up there. But the guts were missing. And the guts were on the one light-colored rug I have downstairs. And the worst part of it is that this particular rug has a woven-in square pattern. And Bam had very neatly placed the guts in a corner square. Aside from the fact that the guts were bloody and the rug was light, I didn't notice them there. You know, you don't come in from shoveling for a couple hours, cold and tired, and think to look for a pile of mouse guts on a rug. You just don't think about it, and I didn't think about it, which explains why I stepped on it. So now I had this flattened mass of fresh mouse guts semi-ground into my rug. I was very proud of myself. I got everything cleaned up. I didn't yell at the cat. I wasn't in a bad mood. I recognized that it was my problem. And I was glad that he got the mouse, because I had just read an article about a fire that was caused by a rodent chewing on electrical wires in the walls. I did feel sorry for the mouse and hoped he hadn't suffered. But after I cleaned up the mouse, I went about my business. And then later on, after a rather busy day and a physically tiring one, I was in the living room, or the part of the house that passes for the living room, which is adjacent to the part of the house that passes as the kitchen, and the area where the wood stove is and where the great mouse massacre occurred. And I was in the living room on the couch with the dogs, watching a Miss Marple segment. And I heard the oddest noise from the kitchen area, which was dark. It was the kind of noise that cats make when they're batting something over a hard surface. It's kind of like a miniature hockey player slapping a puck across the floor. And at first I didn't give much thought to it. But then perhaps because I was watching a mystery, I was suddenly overwhelmed by the awareness of what that hockey puck was. And sure enough, when I went out to the kitchen and checked, there it was. The mouse's head. And Bam was playing hockey with it. The nice thing about Bam is that for as much energy as he has, and for as much of a little devil as he can be, he's remarkably charitable when it comes to giving up his prey. And so I stooped down and I picked up the mouse's head, and I gave the mouse what I hope was a decent burial when I winged him out the front door and into one of those 4-foot drifts up the slope. And that was the end of it. So I look at the ways that Bam amuses himself, and I understand. I understand what an exquisite and in many ways much wilder creature he is than the dogs are. And I love his intelligence and the way he amuses himself even when he drives me crazy. Keeps me on my toes. And it always reminds me to have a bottle of hydrogen peroxide on hand, because there's nothing better than clean up blood, regardless whose.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.